Welcome back to The Daily Poem, a podcast from Goldberry Studios. I'm Sean Johnson, and today is the 1st of April, 2024. Today's poem is by one of our favorites here at The Daily Poem, Gerard Manley Hopkins. And because it is the Monday following Easter, today's poem is that nature is a Heraclitean fire and of the comfort of the resurrection. I plan to read the poem just once, so I'll say a few things about it first. Namely, I love this poem. I think it's a great poem. One of my favorite things about it is what's happening on a structural level. This is really two poems stacked on top of each other. And if you can get a look at the poem itself, even the shape of the two halves, so show you the thematic turning point. I'll say more about that in a moment. After I explain the title, Heraclitus was an ancient Greek pre-Socratic philosopher. One of the things that he's best remembered for is his theory of flux. That is, that the primary reality or the primary force that we experience in the material world is that of change, that the world is always in flux, that the primary element at work in all of the material world is fire, constantly consuming and reshaping the world that we live in and know empirically. Heraclitus was the one who famously said, "You never step into the same river twice," because it's always flowing past you. As soon as you dip your foot into the water that first wetted your toe is now feet away and then yards away and then miles away, and you'll never see it again. When people point out that our bodies are constantly shedding skin and replacing it with new skin cells, and that the you that you were 6 years ago isn't the you that you are now, these people are channeling Heraclitean philosophy. The problem of the ship of Theseus is fundamentally a Heraclitean philosophical conundrum or problem. And in the poem, Hopkins gives us a world through this Heraclitean lens. But there's also something of a medieval cosmology at work as well. So he starts high with the clouds, and then he slowly descends and zooms in to the very earthy. And up high in the realm nearest to the heavens, at least in a medieval cosmology, change is not decay. Change is cyclical. The planets, they revolve, but every year they come back to their normal place and they keep their orbits. They don't come crashing down. So change is really a kind of dance that is repeated. But down low in the earthly realm, change is usually negative. Change is decay. So trees grow old, leaves wither, and they fall off. The ground gets stepped on and crushed and baked and cracked. And man himself, we'll see, is the culminating subject of this poem. Man, too, lives but for a day. And then, like the flowers of the field, right, he fades away. And that is the tragedy of the Heraclitean flux of the world. Change is this great meat grinder, and we are the grist for the mill. But there is hope that one can escape the sort of deathly certainty of that Heraclitean fire and flux. And that hope is the resurrection. And so the first half of the poem is a 14-line stanza that's very square in shape. There's a lot of uniformity and repetition. The cycles of the natural order are narrated there and described there. But the second half of the poem which lifts us out of those cycles, is very angular, which I have always assumed is meant to suggest the facets of a gem, which becomes the focal point of the final lines of the poem. And that the man that comes to the fore at the end of the first half of the poem and the diamond that comes to the foreground at the end of the second half are meant to mirror one another, as you'll see. So try to keep your head through the bouncy, springy, alliterating language in the first few lines, and Hopkins will carry you through to, I think, a remarkable conclusion. Here is that nature is a Heraclitean fire and of the comfort of the resurrection. Cloud puffball, horn tufts, tossed pillows flaunt forth, then Chevy on an air-built thoroughfare. Heaven roisterers and gay gangs they throng, they glitter in marches. Down rough cast, down dazzling whitewash, wherever an elm arches, shiv lights and shadow tackle and long lashes lace, lance and pear. Delightfully, the bright wind boisterous ropes, wrestles, beats earth bare of yester tempest creases. In pool and rut, peel parches, squandering ooze to squeezed dough, crust, dust. Staunches, starches, squadroned masks and man marks, treadmire toil there, foot fretted in it. Million fueled, nature's bonfire burns on. But quench her bonniest, dearest to her clearest selved spark, man, how fast his fire dint, his mark on mind is gone. Both are in an unfathomable, all is in an enormous dark, drowned. Oh, pity and indignation! Man shape that shone sheer off, dissevral, a star, death blots black out. Nor mark is any of him at all so stark, but vastness blurs and time beats level. Enough! The resurrection, a heart's clarion. Away, grief gasping, joyless days, dejection. Across my foundering deck shone a beacon, an eternal beam. Flesh fade and mortal trash fall to the residuary worm. World's wildfire leave but ash. In a flash, at a trumpet crash, I am all at once what Christ is, since he was what I am. And this jack, joke, poor potsherd, hatch, matchwood, immortal diamond is immortal diamond. This has been the Daily Poem. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with another poem for you. To listen to past episodes or to support the show, please visit dailypoempod.substack.com. On behalf of everybody here at Goldberry Studios, happy Easter, and until next time, happy reading.